We started last week a study of the Beatitudes, and we talked a lot about what Beatitudes were and what it means to be blessed and experience joy and happiness. And we talked about the very first Beatitude, and that was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we talked about how significant it was that it was first, because we talked about how a person had to empty themselves of their own will and of their own selfishness so that they could be filled with the rest of the Beatitudes. So being poor in spirit meant that you were submissive to God's will. It wasn't about doing what you wanted and the center of the universe being you, but it was God. And so you had to empty yourself of all of that pride and selfishness so that you could be filled then with the rest of the Beatitudes that we're going to talk about. Well, we're going to skip the second Beatitude because that's an upcoming sermon here in the next couple weeks, so I don't want to spend any time on it. The second Beatitude in Matthew 5, verse 4, is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And so that's the one we're going to have as a sermon here, like I said, in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to skip right on to the third one, which is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." They shall inherit the earth. All right. So in this one, we're going to see that the meek, we're going to look at what the word means and a description of who the meek are, what they do, what they look like, what they think about, their attitudes, and that they're going to enjoy blessings both in this world and the one to come. All right, now, remember the context, because from remember's Sunday sermon, the most important thing in determining what a verse means is context. The context of these Beatitudes, Jesus, remember, is on a mountain, and this is the beginning of this sermon. Sometimes we call it the Sermon on the Mount. And within this sermon, he describes what he wants his followers, his disciples, to be like. Okay? It's going to be a couple years or so before his death on the cross. So it's going to be 2+ years before the church begins. But he is already laying out the map of what he wants the church to be composed of. What kingdom dwellers should look like. And so here at the beginning of the sermon, he gives these Beatitudes. And it describes the blessings and the joy that come to the people who live this way. And of course, he wants his followers to have all of these attributes, not just one of them. I mean, he wants them to have all of these attributes. He wants them to be poor in spirit. He wants them to mourn. He wants them to be meek. He wants them to hunger and thirst for righteousness and all of these. It's not just he wants them to have one. He wants them to have all of them, all of these. So, he's speaking to Jewish people. So this sermon is being delivered to Jewish people. That's who's going to be listening to this sermon. Well, remember, in the first century, the Jews were expecting a Messiah, but they were not expecting a Messiah like Jesus. What kind of Messiah were they expecting?
A warrior,
a captain, a gung-ho physical let's go at them type of Messiah. That's what they were expecting. And of course, Jesus wasn't like that at all. The Jews wanted their Messiah to be a deliverer, not from sin, but a deliverer from the Romans. That's what they wanted. That was their idea of Messiah. So when you look at these Beatitudes, those Jewish people who were looking for that type of Messiah would have thought these Beatitudes were ridiculous. You want us to mourn? You want us to be poor in spirit? You want us to be meek? Uh-uh. So Jesus, right at the beginning of the sermon, is describing people in ways that would go against many of the people who were listening to him. Because that's not what they were expecting and that's not what they were wanting. So his hearers didn't want to, at least many of them, want to hear what he was talking about. And of course, our world today, you know, if you were to ask somebody, who are the people who are happy? Well, the ones that have lots of money, the ones that have beautiful homes, the ones that have great jobs. I mean, isn't that how probably most people would describe, you know, what's going to make them happy? Well, a lot of money, a lot of possessions, like I said, big, beautiful homes, all of those things, vacation homes or, you know, whatever. That's what probably most people in our country would say, that's what's going to make me happy. That's what's going to bring me joy. But there's nothing in these Beatitudes that's even close to that. Not even the tiniest little thing. And here Jesus is telling them, and of course telling us too, 2,000 years later, what real happiness and joy and being blessed is all about, what it looks like. What it looks like. So one of the things he says it looks like is to be meek. All right, well, if you were to stop 20 people on the sidewalk and ask them what meek meant, they would probably say it would be somebody that was real backward, that never, you know, wouldn't talk to anybody and let people run over them, and were kind of a wallflower, to use an old term, things like that. Maybe didn't have a lot of gumption, or, you know,
mealy mouth.
Okay, there's another older term that would fit in. So that's what a lot of people on the street would say meek was like. And so for them, most people would associate meek in a negative way. In a negative way. They would think it was a negative thing to be meek.
Yeah, you're supposed to stand up for yourself. You're not supposed to be quiet, mm-hmm. in the shadows. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be out there standing up for yourself.
And Jesus says, but it's the meek who are going to be blessed. It's the meek who are going to be blessed. So it's used in some other places, the same Greek word anyway, is sometimes translated gentle. Okay? Sometimes it's translated gentle. When Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, you know, what's called his triumphant entry, riding on a donkey, he says he's lowly, riding on a donkey. Well, the word lowly there is the same word as meek here. It's the same word as translated. So some places it's translated meek, some places it's translated gentle, and there, talking about Jesus on the donkey, is translated lowly. But again, it's all the same Greek word. And for a lot of people, like I said, it would be a negative thing. But when you look at how the word would have been used in the first century, which is what we want to know, because that's when Jesus is speaking and he's describing a meek person would be unassuming, all right, not proud and arrogant, strong but not violent, the opposite of belligerent, I like this part. Angry at the right time, but never angry at the wrong time. I like that idea of it. Meekness does not mean you feel like you're inferior. Obviously, we're not talking about someone that thinks they're inferior. Remember, Moses is said to have been a meek person. All right, Moses was meek, but yet he was very courageous too. So you can have courage to do the right thing and still be meek. So you can have inner strength and be a meek person. Let's go back to a psalm here of David. Psalm 37. Let's go back to that a moment. And beginning in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Notice, that's the same phrase that's used in our Beatitude. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So there is, it's considered to be a Psalm of David, a psalm that describes the meek person. They trust in the Lord. They delight in the Lord. They trust in the Lord. They commit themselves to the Lord. When you delight in somebody, what does that look like? What does it look like when you say you delight in somebody's presence? What would that be like, to delight in somebody's presence?
I'm thinking of a newborn baby.
Oh, okay. There's a great example. Okay?
Your first grandchild.
Mm-hmm. Delight in that one's presence. You love being there. You feel good being there. Brings you joy being there. See, the meek person delights in God's presence. You know, he likes to think about God and enjoys praying to God. Enjoys reading God's Word. And many other things you could probably put in that list. But that's the meek person. The meek person. All right. Some places in the New Testament that talk about meekness. How about James 1:21? Let's all turn there. James chapter 1. Someone would read verse 21. James 1:21.
Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Okay, so how would we receive with meekness the word? How would, since we're told to receive the word with meekness, what attitude would we have or possess to receive it with meekness? What would that be like?
Being happily receive it.
Happily receive it. All right. What else? How would we receive it? What other thing might we do to receive it with meekness? How would we view the word if we're meek?
Wouldn't question it.
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't question it.
Okay, because it's from God. All right, we would receive it not as, like the Thessalonians, not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God. All right? Okay? The Bible even tells us where to put on, just like clothing, meekness. That's part of the new man. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12.
Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience.
Okay. Now here's the new man. All right. Here's the new man, and this is, you know, Paul's talking to the church there. This is a description. When we put off the old man, this is what the new man is to look like. He's to be holy. He's to have love and mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness or meekness, and be long-suffering. Very patient. So there are things. See, this is the new man. This is what the new man's supposed to put on. That's his articles of clothing. All right? That's what he's supposed to look like. Okay. Here's a good example. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. I'd mentioned Moses real briefly, but I want to spend just a little more time with him. This is after Moses' first wife, Zipporah, had died, and now Moses has married an Egyptian woman. Notice verse 1 of Numbers 12. Then Miriam and Aaron, those were his brother and sister, spoke against Moses. And you might have in your Bible, criticized. Criticized Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? Now we're seeing the attitude of Miriam and Aaron here. They're saying, does Moses think he's the only one that God has spoken to? Hasn't he also spoken to us? So there seems to be an authority issue here between Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. And so Miriam and Aaron are criticizing Moses. They're saying that, hey, don't we have just as much authority as you, Moses? So that's what the issue seems to be, is that they're kind of challenging Moses having the authority. So let's see how things progress. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Okay? So God is addressing all three of them. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Moses, and I think this is a description of the meek person, Moses Let God take care of it. In other words, Moses didn't retaliate against Aaron and Miriam so that there had been some sort of fight between them all about who had the authority. Moses let God show who had the authority. And so God picks out Miriam and Aaron and says, I did not send dreams or visions to Moses like I did other spokesmen, but I spoke directly to Moses, which was God's way of saying, don't try and criticize or usurp Moses' authority. I have spoken directly to him, and you need to listen to him. And that's, of course, what they needed to do. So he didn't fight back on his own. He let God speak to Miriam and Aaron and take care of it in no uncertain terms. So that both of them knew now not to try and question or challenge Moses' authority. So let's go to the second part of our beatitude, which says, blessed are those are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now we know from looking at everything Christ and the apostles said and so forth that God did not promise us that we would have our own oil well or we'd have our own gold bars or anything. He never promised us that we would have untold riches. That's nowhere to even, you know, be found anywhere. But when you look at how the phrase inherit the earth or inherit the land is used, a lot of times it was used in the Old Testament for the Israelites and the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And God had promised them that they would inherit that land. Well, inheriting the land, the significance of it was that when they did inherit the land, they would have these blessings that would come upon them. In other words, they would be blessed. You know, it was called the land that flowed with milk and honey, and all of these blessings would come upon them. And so it is kind of like an expression that the meek will receive many different types of blessings. Lots of types of blessings. And of course, Christians were not promised land, physical land. In other words, there's no, people still call it the Holy Land, but there's nothing holy about it. I think it's one of the most unholy places in the world.
Bombs and bullets rather than.
Nothing holy about it, but it's certainly not a holy place. In other words, the land itself is not designated by God to be holy. Because this world, like we know from 2 Peter 3, is going to be gone one day. It's going to be completely gone. And everything in it is going to be gone. So Christians aren't inheriting a physical piece of land. Nowhere in the Bible does it even hint that we're going to be given a piece of land. But it does say that we are going to be given countless blessings. The Bible says that God adorns the meek. It says that in a number of places. Actually, in some of the Psalms. God adorns the meek. He does give us particular blessings that other people don't have. So, you know, in a sense, we are inheriting the earth now in the sense that we do have blessings now that other people don't have. Nobody can experience the type of joy and peace that Christians can experience because ours is based in reality. Ours is based on trust in the only true living God that there is. So we have that blessing or blessings that other people simply don't have. And the meek also, just like Paul said he was, we can be content, like Paul said, whether he has a lot or whether he has a little, we can be content. Well, that's not true of most people in the world. Well, especially in our country. But because of who we are and who we belong to, then we receive blessings that are simply not found anywhere else. So not only do we have the gift of eternal life and a home in heaven, but we also can have a great life here on earth, because we don't have to be concerned with things that other people are concerned with. I don't have to be concerned about global warming. I don't have to be concerned about it. I know a lot of people just can't hardly sleep because of it. I don't have to be concerned about it at all, because I know how the world's going to end. God's told me exactly how the world's going to end. I know exactly how it's going to end. So regardless of what man says about any of these things, I know how it's going to end, and I know who's going to end it. And man's not going to do it. God's going to do it. So there's a number of things that I don't have to be concerned with because of who I am, that I belong to God. So I don't have to be concerned about those things. And I am very glad about it. So the meek, if we follow what he said about what it really means to be meek, then I receive blessings both now and in eternity. Particular blessings, special blessings that other people do not have. And so the meek are those who we've already, from the being poor in spirit, remember, being poor in spirit means that you're emptying yourself of what you believe is right or good or whatever, and you're submitting your will to God's. So you're submitting your will to God. So the greater the extent that we do that, the greater we inherit the earth, the greater the blessings we have. So the more we submit to God, the more in that sense that we receive. And so we can live a better life in that sense now than anybody else does. We're not going to get angry as often. We're not going to seek vengeance, because we know vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So I don't have to be concerned with seeking vengeance, because I know whose job it is and I know whose job it isn't. There's more things that I don't have to be concerned with. I can have that patience when things go wrong, knowing that Romans 8 says that there's good that's going to come out from it. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So you can just think about all these different promises and blessings that Christians have, and that other people don't. And so that's why we inherit the earth, because we receive many, many blessings both now and in eternity that other people don't have. Remember what Jesus said. If we're still in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 11. And then our time will just about be up. Matthew 11, the last three verses, if somebody will read those, 28 through 30.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
There's the invitation, he says. Come to me, all you who labor, heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. That doesn't mean that he never promises that it's going to be free from difficulties or suffering. He never said that. But we can have a peace, again, that other people simply can't have, because ours is rooted in our trust in God, where other people's are not. He says, I'm gentle or meek, as it's translated sometimes in other versions, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, there he says it again, for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's light and it's easy. So no wonder the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Because we really will receive the best life now, and certainly the best life in the future. Well, our time is up for tonight.